Welcome to the Business of Government Hour, a conversation about management with a government executive who is changing the way government does business. The Business of Government Hour is produced by the IBM Center for the Business of Government, which was created in 1998 to encourage discussion and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness. You can find out more about the center by visiting us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. And now, the Business of Government Hour.
Good morning. I'm John Kaminsky, Senior Fellow with the IBM Center for the Business of Government, sitting in for Albert Morales this morning. One of today's greatest challenges is protecting the country against terrorists and the instruments of terror, while at the same time fostering the country's economic security through lawful travel and trade. The U.S. Customs and Border Protection Agency, which is part of the Department of Homeland Security, operates at the nexus of national security and American economic security. With us this morning to discuss his organization's critical role in balancing security and commerce is our special guest, Ralph Basham, Commissioner of U.S. Customs and Border Protection. Good morning, Ralph.
Good morning, John.
Also joining us in our conversation is Dave Abel, Director of Homeland Security Services at IBM. Good morning, Dave.
Morning, John.
Ralph, maybe we can start our program with you giving us a bit of an overview of the mission and history of U.S. Customs and Border Protection.
Certainly, John. I would just start out by saying that for the first time in our history, there is an agency that is tasked with the responsibility of protecting all of our borders. And that agency is Customs and Border Protection. After 9/11, it was recognized that there was a need to unify our efforts on the border. So when DHS was created, they brought together basically what I would call all of the inspectional services that deal at our ports of entry around the country. And that was the legacy customs responsibilities, who had obviously the customs regulations that they oversaw, the INS, who had the inspectional requirements for admissibility, those people who could come into the country, the Department of Agriculture, who has the responsibility for making sure that we are protecting the country against threats to our agricultural or aquaculture, and as well as the entire Border Patrol. Customs and Border Protection now is the agency that is tasked with protecting all of our borders, all 9,000 miles and all 350 ports of entry into the country. And it has been, in my opinion, one of the very positive things that has come out of the reorganization. And we are approximately in numbers, something I believe around 48, 49,000 people at this point in time. Secretary Chertoff has a way of putting it that we are charged with keeping bad things and bad people out of the country. We are enhancing our tools. We're enhancing our training, and we are continuing to bring those entities together to be one unified face at the border.
Well, you gave us some sense of scale of the 48,000 employees and 350 ports of entry and 9,000 miles of border. How are you organized and your budget and maybe like the volume of people and goods that flow into the country?
Well, just to give you an idea of the challenge, last year we processed 420 million people who were coming both in and out of the United States. On any given day, we're processing in excess of 70,000 trucks that are coming through our ports of entry. We are processing over 11 million containers that come into our seaports. Something in the neighborhood of 700,000 air passengers that enter this country. So the magnitude of the job is enormous, and we are obviously under the Department of Homeland Security, and we work very closely with our partner agencies, TSA, Transportation Security Administration, of course the Coast Guard, our sister agency, the Immigration and Customs Enforcement, ICE, FEMA, and other entities within the department to help us do our job. I believe that the consolidation of those entities has had a very positive impact on our ability to get control of our borders. Now, added to that, the additional responsibilities of that area between ports of entry, which traditionally and continues to be the responsibility of the Border Patrol. Border Patrol, by mandate of the president, will actually double in its size between now and the end of 08, going from 9,000 to 18,000 Border Patrol agents. I think what all that says is that this country has finally decided to get serious about controlling our borders. And I believe 9/11 demonstrated that we have to do a better job.
So I'd like to go from that. The statistics around what CBP does on any given day and during the course of the year are amazing, and the amount of border that the Border Patrol has to cover is tremendous as well. Within the organization, you're one person within the organization. What type of responsibilities do you have within CBP as the commissioner?
I have a traditional responsibility that I oversee all of the operational administrative responsibilities of the agency. I think it's a very simple responsibility. I believe my job is to ensure that the men and women of CBP have the tools and have the resources that they need in order to get their job done. And that, of course, means working with the Department of Homeland Security. That means working with the sister agencies. That means working with the Congress and with the administration to provide to those agents and officers and personnel out there that when they're asked to do a job, when they're asked to perform a responsibility, that they have the tools that they need to get that done.
Now, how do you relate? You mentioned a number of other organizations within the Department of Homeland Security and the department itself. How regularly do you relate with other leaders of organizations within DHS?
The Deputy Secretary, Michael Jackson, when he took over in that position, thought that it would be very helpful and useful if the seven operational components of DHS met on a regular basis. We literally meet weekly with the Commandant of the Coast Guard, the Director of the Secret Service, the Assistant Secretary for Immigration and Customs Enforcement, the Director of FEMA. We do share information. We look to share resources. I left out Kip Hawley, who was the administrator at TSA as well. But we have found that by just merely sitting down and talking at that level, that there are many, many opportunities that we can work together to show one face to the public out there. We've done some very interesting, very innovative missions together to show that we are there, that the enforcement arm of DHS is present. Coast Guard, Secret Service, TSA, ICE, and CBP have joined together to go out and to work common operations out there in the field.
So if we take the complexity of what CBP does on a regular basis and combine that with the complexity within the department and the other organizations in the department, it seems to me that there's probably not a day that goes by that something new and challenging and interesting doesn't come up. Can you maybe highlight for us two or three of the most significant challenges that you've had in your role so far?
Well, I believe that CBP needs to be an intelligence-driven organization. Every day, as I said before, we process literally hundreds of millions of people. We collect tremendous amounts of information. And I have felt since my arriving here that we need to do a better job of collecting and analyzing and disseminating that information both back out to the field operators so that they have a better idea of exactly what the threats are and where the threats may be coming from. And at the same time, I think CBP can contribute in a very large way up to the larger national intelligence responsibilities. And so what I have done is created a new office within CBP for Assistant Commissioner for Intelligence and Operations Coordination. And that's to give us more knowledge, give us better idea of what the threats are, and then we will make a determination as to how to address those threats. Another challenge that I feel is incredibly important is making sure that CBP has, you know, integrity. One of the things I think in law enforcement, and I've had 37 years in law enforcement, to be credible, law enforcement has to demonstrate that integrity, that they can be trusted. So I have also, since I have been there, have built and expanded our internal affairs organization so that we can be proactive and make sure that we know where we may have problems and vulnerabilities within our own workforce. When you have as many law enforcement personnel that are stationed out there on the border, we just have to make sure that our employees understand the vulnerability that they face. I mean, I'll tell you, I believe that CBP, the Border Patrol, as well as our officers at the ports of entry, work in the highest threat environment, maybe in the world, to corruption. I don't have to tell you, I'm sure you've read the stories about the drug cartels and the people who are smuggling in illegal immigrants, and there's just tremendous amounts of money. The temptation is very, very high. I want to make sure we have the ability to be out in front of those kinds of issues. And the other thing that I've worked very hard on, and every day I work hard on, is developing partnerships. Whether it was the Secret Service or Federal Law Enforcement Training Center or the Transportation Security Administration or here at CBP, I have recognized that probably the most important, if maybe not the most important, issue is to develop the kind of partnerships that's going to help us get our job done. We can't do this job by ourselves. We have to rely upon state and local partners, other federal partners, the private sector, in order to get our job done. So I would list the issues of an intelligence-driven organization, issues of integrity within our own workforce, and to continue to develop the partnerships that are necessary to get the job done, the requirements that we have.
Well, this is really fascinating. And you mentioned that you had a 37-year career history. Could you give us a little description of your career path for our listeners and sort of how did you begin your career and stuff?
I don't know if we have enough time on this program, but I will try. I started my career with the United States Secret Service back in 1970 as a special agent in our Washington field office here in Washington, D.C. And I spent 28 years in the Secret Service and had a very, very wide range of duties within the Secret Service. And then in 1998, Secretary Rubin asked if I would go to be the director of the Federal Law Enforcement Training Center in Georgia. And as you know, it's has the responsibility of training the majority of the nation's federal law enforcement agents and officers as well as state and local. And spent 4 years in that position, and it was a tremendous opportunity. And then September the 11th occurred. I was asked to come back to Washington to assist in the startup of the Transportation Security Administration, TSA. And I was the first chief of staff in that position. And my job basically was to build the organization and to staff the organization and spent about a year in that position, a little over a year in that position, helping start up TSA. Then the president asked me to come back to the Secret Service as the director. And so in 2003, I went back as the director of the Secret Service. And then in 2006, the president asked me to come take the job of Commissioner of Customs and Border Protection. But I can tell you I've been extremely, in my mind, fortunate to have had these wonderful opportunities to help, quite frankly, to protect the country. So I consider it to be a privilege and not a chore.
Well, how did these different positions in your career help you to craft the kind of management and leadership style you use now?
Well, I think because, as I said earlier, one of the things that I feel is very important in any organization, and that is to build partnerships. As a young Secret Service agent, and as throughout my career in the Secret Service, you know, recognizing that Secret Service is a small organization and has a big, huge task, a huge mission. And in order to get that mission accomplished, you have to rely upon the partnerships and leverage those partnerships and work with others in order to meet those requirements. And so I believe that I developed a very collaborative style of management. I also believe that that same collaborative style works no matter what level you are within an organization, that within an organization, you also have to be willing to leverage those same partnerships with your own employees and to make sure that those employees feel like that they are part of the organization, they're part of the effort, that they are respected and recognized for those efforts. And so I think I would be probably considered as a collaborative manager. But I also feel that just the experiences that I've had of dealing with the different organizations, the different structures of those organizations, that it truly has given me, you know, an opportunity to fashion my own style. And I believe that style is really one that served me well, recognizing that these jobs are tough and sometimes you have to make very tough decisions. And so it's that combination, I think.
Well, what is CBP's multi-layered security strategy? We will ask Ralph Basham, Commissioner, U.S. Customs and Border Protection, to share with us when the conversation about management continues on the Business of Government Hour.